Good morning. I was grateful for a prayer this morning from Nadine, and she mentioned she didn't know if I get nervous up front. And I'm a decent writer, but public speaking is something that I'm definitely working on, a gift that I am trying to exercise, unless my average age of my audience is 10 or 11. So I said to the youth this morning, don't judge me on my eye contact, but by the content of what I have this morning. My husband always says he likes it when something starts with a joke to lighten the mood. So I found two off of a Christian website. It was from a pastor that I found. So I hope you find humor in them as I did. So the first one, a mother went to wake her son for church on Sunday morning. When she knocked on his door, he said, I'm not going. Why not? Asked his mother. I'll give you two good reasons. One, they don't like me. And two, I don't like them. His mother replied, I'll give you two good reasons why you will go. One, you are 47 years old. And two, you are the pastor. And I'm glad that Glenn does not feel that way. And here's the other one. By the time Bobby arrived, the football game had already started. Why are you so late? Asked his friend. I couldn't decide between going to church and going to the football game, so I did a coin toss, said Bobby. But that shouldn't have taken too long, said the friend. Well, I had to toss it 35 times. So I'm glad all of you chose to join us this morning, including online if you're watching. I'd like to begin this morning by inviting you to reflect on two things. First, consider any predictions or connections that you make based on my title today. This is not for me. As you read this title, take a moment to reflect on what comes to mind. Perhaps you've said this to yourself before. Maybe after trying a new activity and realizing it wasn't for you. Maybe your golf swing constantly lands your golf ball in the sand. Or an attempt at knitting a hat turned into something that resembles more of a sock. It could have been a new outfit that didn't fit your style, or even a job that didn't align with your path. These things that we usually do not feel terrible about giving up simply because they are just not for us. Leaving these things behind will not really cause any problems or take us away from our path that God has laid out for us. The second thing I'd like for you to reflect on is the word gift. When we hear this word, our minds often go to special occasions, maybe like Christmas or birthday or just recently Valentine's Day. Giving and receiving gifts is a meaningful way to express love and appreciation for your friends and your family. Most of us put a great deal of thought into the gifts that we give, carefully considering what would bring joy to its recipient. As we shop for gifts, we ask ourselves, will they like this? Will they use it? Have they mentioned wanting this before? Will it add value or happiness to their life? The intention behind a gift is often just as important as the gift itself. Because of this, when we receive a gift, we rarely think, this isn't for me. We recognize that someone took the time to choose something special with us in mind. Now let's shift our focus to spiritual gifts. Just as we carefully choose gifts for others, God puts immense thought into the gifts that he gives to us. However, unlike presents reserved for a special occasion, our spiritual gifts are with us always. They are intentionally woven into his plan and his purpose for our life. They are meant to guide us and to shape who we are. These gifts are not random, and they're not temporary. They are a natural part of us, designed to be nurtured and used for his glory. Jeremiah 1:5 reads, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Here in this scripture, Jeremiah is told by the Lord that his gifting was part of his plan all along. When we use our giftings and follow the plan God has for us, we have decided to partner with God, and he guides all of our steps. When we discover our spiritual gifts and talents, most of us would not say, Hey God, this one's not for me. Can we please return it? Could I please exchange it or maybe re-gift it? We don't do that. Back in November of 23, many of us here at AMC participated in the spiritual gifts questionnaire. I found it to be a meaningful way to identify and name the God-given gifts we possess. While most of us likely have a sense of where our strengths lie, putting those gifts into words, writing them down, and discussing them with our church family serves as a powerful reminder of our unique roles within the body of Christ. I don't recall seeing anyone, I hope not, in the back trading their questionnaire. No one said, "Hey, I'll take your gift of mercy if you can take my gift of helps." Each gift is unique and special to the individual. Gifts and talents are part of us. They're woven into our DNA. The problems do not usually lie in the acceptance of the gifts. The problems usually lie within fear or unwillingness to exercise those gifts and talents. This idea is rooted in biblical teaching, particularly in passages like Matthew 25, 14 through 30 is the parable of the talents. I'll have it on the screen, but if you'd like to follow along, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Am I a little behind? There we go. "And he also had the 2 talents come forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and I give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The concept emphasizes that God gives each person unique gifts, talents, and abilities, and we are called to use them to honor him and serve others. Here are a few takeaways from this parable. Number 1, God gives different gifts to each person. This teaches that God expects us to use what he has given us rather than let fear hold us back. Each person is different, and that is a beautiful thing. As we use our talents, we benefit others by working as a body led by Christ. Number 2, stewardship and responsibility. The master expected the servants to manage and grow what they were given. Likewise, we are called to be good stewards of our time, skill, finances, and every opportunity. Number 3, those who are faithful will be rewarded. The servants who used their talents wisely were given even more. They were given more responsibility and more joy in their life. This suggests that faithful serving leads to greater blessings and opportunities. This point is not focused on the total amount earned, but on the faithfulness and responsibility in living up to the one's potential. And the 4th, inaction leads to loss. The servant who buried his talent lost everything. This highlights that failing to use our gifts or not exercising them for God's purpose can lead to spiritual stagnation and consequences. This point brings to mind a natural process that occurs when we stop using something that you have as muscles. From the moment we are born, our bodies come equipped with muscles that, with proper use and exercise, they grow stronger and more defined. However, when we intentionally stop engaging these muscles, whether due to an injury or inactivity or maybe simply just neglect, they begin to shrink and they begin to weaken. This is known as muscle atrophy. Over time, without regular use, the muscle fibers, they start to lose mass, and the body can experience a decline in both strength and function. It's a gradual process, but one that highlights the importance of staying active and maintain the health and integrity of your muscles. Similarly, our minds require constant stimulation to stay sharp. Just like muscles, the brain thrives on challenge and engagement. When we stop learning, thinking critically, or exposing ourselves to new ideas, our cognitive abilities can deteriorate, making it harder to process information, to recall memories, and adapt to new situations. This mental stagnation can be compared to atrophy of the mind. It's a reminder that both physical and mental exercise are crucial for maintaining strength, agility, and overall well-being. So the same principle applies to gifts and talents that we have been blessed with. Each of us has a unique ability placed within us by God. But if we fail to develop them and use them, they too can weaken and fade. Whether it's a talent for music, leadership, creativity, or serving others, these gifts require practice, refinement, and dedication for their full potential. Neglecting them not only stunts our growth, but also prevents us from using them to bless and uplift others. Just as we must exercise our bodies and our minds to keep them strong, we must also nurture and steward our God-given talents, ensuring they are used for their intended purpose. The parable teaches that we should actively use and grow the gifts that God has given us, rather than hiding them out of fear or laziness. It encourages diligence, trust, and faithful service in anticipation for Christ's return. We must exercise our gifts to build character. God has equipped each of us with strengths, whether spiritual, intellectual, artistic, or practical. They are meant to be used for his purpose. Some people are gifted in teaching, others in leadership, creativity, or encouragement, some acts of service. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 7 speaks about these different spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit for the common good. Do we recognize our gifts and understand the opportunity for faithfulness? Sometimes we recognize the gifts in others before acknowledging our own. We admire their talent and their accomplishment, often focusing on the highlights of their lives. We may even think that success or accomplishment may come easier for others. Yet we may overlook the dedication, the perseverance, and character building that happens behind the scenes to make those achievements possible. A mother's work is often unseen or underappreciated, yet it requires immense dedication, patience, sacrifice, from sleepless nights caring for a newborn to the countless hours spent guiding, teaching, and nurturing a child. A mother's effort shapes the future of her children. She balances responsibilities, prepares meals, helps with homework, manages schedules, offers emotional support, all the while instilling values like kindness, resilience, and faith. The joy of seeing her child succeed or grow into a responsible adult is the fruit of her unseen labor, but she has to put in the work. A gardener's work is slow and deliberate. It requires patience, care, and understanding of nature. Every plant needs the right soil, water, and attention to thrive. It's a process that takes time. There's no shortcut to growth. A gardener spends months nurturing a vegetable garden, watering it daily, removing weeds, ensuring the plants get the right sunlight. When the harvest finally comes, people enjoy the fresh produce, but they don't see the long hours of dedication it took to cultivate the land and tend to the plant. A pastor's role is not just about preaching on Sunday. It's about shepherding a congregation, guiding them to their faith, and walking them through life's challenges. He prays for his people, counsels those who are in need, invests in their spiritual growth, often sacrificing his own time and energy. A pastor spends hours preparing sermons that will encourage and challenge his congregation. Beyond the pulpit, he visits a grieving family, prays with a struggling couple, and mentors young believers. Though people see him preaching on Sundays, they may not see the countless hours that he spends in study, prayer, and personal care for his congregation. His reward comes when he sees people grow in their faith and find strength in God during life's trials, but he has to also put in the work. Faithfulness is success. Whether it's a mother raising a child, an athlete striving for excellence, an architect crafting a masterpiece, or a gardener nurturing plants, true success and beauty are built on unseen efforts. The world often celebrates the final result but overlooks the perseverance, the struggles sometimes, the prayer and faithfulness behind it. Recognizing this encourages us to appreciate not only the achievements but also the journey and the hard work behind all of it. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Our talents should lead to spiritual fruit. I think a lot of us are familiar with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good works, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in Galatians 5:22 and 23. When we use our gifts for God's purpose, we impact our lives for others and reflect his kingdom. I would like you to think about my title one more time, but look at it from a different perspective. These gifts, these talents that God has specifically chosen and given to each individual, they are not for us. These talents and gifts are for others and for the glory of God. They are given to us to use and to exercise. So I think it is fair to say, this is not for me. Our next question should then be, God, how can I use these gifts that you have given me to produce these fruit? Wisdom. Where do we look for wisdom and find guidance in using our gifts? God's Word. The Bible is filled with God's wisdom, and by reading, studying, and praying, we gain insight into how to live the right way. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." When we immerse ourselves in Scripture, we gain guidance for making wise choices. I'd like to share a short clip of a sermon. This man's name is Mike Jr. from Birmingham, Alabama. I was going to quote him, but like I said, public speaking is not my talent, and he did a really great job of saying this, so I will just share with you.
I said this 50 times, I said again, apple trees don't eat apples. Have you ever stopped to consider a plum tree don't eat plums? A pear tree don't eat pears. All they get is water. Cause the fruit ain't for the tree. The fruit is for people pass by. Your gift ain't for you. Which is why you can be depressed at home and be on the phone giving other people a word that'll flip their life. Have you ever hung up the phone like, I should have told myself that? It's because your gift, Michael, ain't for you. Watch this. Wisdom is. So what am I praying over your life, over the next couple years of your life? Lord, increase my wisdom.
Knowing our gifts is only the beginning. We must actively use them. It is through intentional action that our gifts fulfill their purpose. We should seek wisdom from God's word. Study how Jesus lived. Study his words to understand how to apply them effectively in our lives. Allow them to bear fruit that bless others and advance his kingdom. Faithfulness in small things leads to greater responsibilities. We should not wait for grand moments to serve God, but use every daily opportunity, whether at work, in ministry, or in personal interactions, to be faithful steward of his blessings and gifts. Our gifts are a responsibility, and we honor God when we use them with purpose. By exercising our talents, we not only fulfill our calling, but also produce fruit that reflects God's glory and benefits other people. The challenge is to remain faithful and to take every opportunity to use what we have for his kingdom. Pastor and author Rick Warren said, Your spiritual gifts were not given for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others, just as other people were given gifts for your benefit. As we move forward, I encourage each of us to reflect on our gifts and how we can use them to bless others. In moments of discouragement, when we feel like we are not achieving enough or we're not measuring up to worldly success, we must remember that our gifts and talents were never meant for our own glory. They are tools given to us to serve others and further the kingdom of God. So when we shift our focus from personal success to fulfilling God's purpose, we find true fulfillment in using our gifts as he intended. Please join me for a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence today. We ask for your wisdom as we think about the gifts and talents that you give us. Allow us to grow our full potential and be a blessing to those around us. Amen.